What did you see out there today? What stood out for you?
Well, 3-on-3 is going to be interesting and exciting, and there's a lot to work on, not just plays, but strategies, how you change. Then I don't know that you can defend it. I don't know that you can take your three best defensive players and say, shut another group down. There's just too much ice. So there's going to be some great chances. It'd be very, very exciting. I think that's the whole idea of 4-on-4, but they're going to get it with 3-on-3. I think it's going to be great. And then, you know, you spend all summer as a coach. You want to go back to basics and start from the scratch and build your systems over again. But we had a group, an older group, and we didn't have to run those on. They know where they're supposed to be. So we are a little further ahead in some systems than we were last year, which is a positive. So we can work on other things.
Back to the 3-on-3 as a coach, how much time can you devote to that? How much time do you devote?
Well, I think we're going to have to, right? So there's a whole new system coming into the game. The 4-on-4, after a year or two, there wasn't much to it. You know, if you didn't have the puck, you pretty much run in your penalty kill defense. And if you had it, you were trying to get somebody up in the rush. So turn it into 3 on, off the rush. This is a completely different animal. Some teams are just right off the hop with personnel going to have an advantage. We've certainly got some good speed here. But it's going to be really interesting to watch not just your own team, but the league develop this over the course of the year, because all the coaches are asking the same questions right now.
Would you use 3 forwards? Or
sure.
Would you always want a defenseman?
Sure. No, because I think the only advantage of having a defenseman is he's got an awful lot of experience playing odd man rushes more than the forwards do. But we're going to find the personnel that fits, and if it's 3 forwards, if we've got a guy that's capable of reading when he needs to pivot into the middle and defend a little bit, we do that. I think we've got at least 4 defensemen that you would consider offensive, and it's going to be like having 3 forwards because all those guys will be ahead of our forwards a lot. You know, we 2 defensemen, but one of them's playing forward. So we're going to work that through all our personnel. We're going to spend quite a bit of time 3-on-3. Really important points. At the end of the day, the percentage you say there's just going to be more games decided 3-on-3, so you got to be good at it.
Should we attach any significance to the fact that Nick Ehlers was the only non-veteran in that first group?
No, so we Nick's, the systems that we run would be quite a bit different. I watched Nick's playoff games from last year. What we run is a lot different than what he's used to. And while all of our American League players ran a similar version of our system, so they've already seen it a bunch of times, there's 2 or 3 guys that haven't had a lot of exposure to it, and he's one of them. He and Burmistroff, right? They're the 2 guys. So they were out there today in that environment with only 9 forwards and 60. You can spend a whole lot more time teaching them. We want to get them as much exposure to this style of hockey and this system of hockey as we can. He doesn't have the job yet. We just want to give those players. There are a few players that are going to audition for that job. Some of them already know the systems. Matt Halaschuk already knows what we were doing in practice today, so he didn't need to be out there in that group. But there are a few young guys that will get a chance to practice with a veteran-only group because we move through our systems cleaner. It's an easier practice for them to make their reads. And when they come to the boards, you know, and they're just standing and talking, all those players are coaching. So they'll pick things up faster being out with a more veteran group.
How much leeway do you give him in this camp then, considering he's starting behind a lot of the other guys?
The same as all the non-Jet players from last year. It's as long as they're working as hard as we can, I'm not worried about the mistakes they make or the positioning. I'm really not. It'll just get better. I want him on the puck, and I want him to show what his gifts are, the things that he can do well on the ice. By the 20 days from now, what we're looking for is improvement. We're not even looking for him to have it right. It took our whole team 3 months to grasp our neutral zone last year, and now they've got it. We ran it for 5 minutes out there and moved on because they've got it now. It takes time. Young players don't want to make mistakes. Well, if they make mistakes, they don't get back out on the ice, so they positionally want to be sound, and sometimes that takes away from their game. They're thinking too much and they're not moving. So we want to try to just chip away as much as we can with our young players, give them as much, not so that they're just playing our system, so they just don't have to think about our system while they're playing.
Mark Scheifele was talking about how he's added a fair bit of muscle this year and his weight's up to 207. What do you think the advantage is going to be to have him at a larger size this year?
It's really interesting. We get these young kids that come in, and even if we tell them it doesn't matter, they all go home and try to put on a lot of weight, right? They all think that's the key, because they walk into an NHL room and they see some enormous men, so I got to get bigger and I got to get stronger. The way we want them to do it is by eating all the right foods and training really hard, and the weight will come. And that's what's happened with Mark. I mean, he's worked with Gary Roberts, I think, the last 3-4 summers, so we know his work ethic is there, and his diet is spectacular. The weight was just going to come with him getting older. So he didn't go out. His speed numbers and in testing, and you can just see it on the ice. He's faster than he was last year, so he's put on more mass. That's just Mark, you know, becoming a man, and he's a big, strong. He will probably play even heavier than that. As he puts more weight on in his legs just through skating and training. The advantage for him will be he'll be a little bit more able to hold a guy off, just, you know, drive a little harder on a puck, push through a guy. Those little battles that come, I guess, with experience, but a lot of times it is with a little bit of that man strength that he has now. It's going to help him in all parts of his game.
Talked to Andre Pavlik a bit too today, and obviously he had his best season as a pro last year. How do you think he will be able to do coming in this season?
So Pav, like our hockey team, you know, we have a number of guys who had career offensive years. We just don't want that to be their ceiling. So we should be looking for more. The guys who, you know, score 5 more points if you had your best year. And for Pav, you know, knock your save percentage up a bit and just keep getting better and better. Our plan is to play us absolutely as hard as we did last year. The improvement in this team, we'd like to think, will be coming from being more accustomed with the style of game, you know, not thinking quite as much. We did develop from the start to the end of last year a far better understanding of what we're trying to do, which made us faster, and it allowed us. Our season will be the same. Come March 1st, we're going to play all divisional, big, solid teams, and we're going to have to be at our best at that time. We'd like to think we had a little bit of a jumping off point, but so did all those other teams. So we, you know, the race is still on. We think we're still at least the same speed that we were last year, and we're hoping to be a little faster.
Do you think with Pavlik, the case that it made him better to have somebody here who was A, pushing him, and B, taking some of the workload off for him?
I don't know the answer to that. I know the result of what I saw. You know, Hutch came in and won big games for us, and there would certainly maybe be a calming effect that it wasn't for Pav. I think in the past it was all on him. The idea was, and I read these comments just either from fans or you know, Pav's got to be the guy that gets us to the playoffs. That was absolutely the worst concept possible. He wasn't the reason they weren't getting to the playoffs. The team played a strong enough game, and then at the end of the year, he did have to get us to the playoffs. In that 5-game stretch where he shut the door and then the back-to-back shutouts on that last road trip, you know, he had to be the difference then in maybe in 10 days. And you can't ask a goalie to be the difference over 82 to get you in the playoffs. Your team's not good enough then. What he was able to do, maybe he was better rested, maybe he was more motivated, maybe just the St. Louis goal fired him up. Whatever it was, he was in a better position because Hutch was there. The why, I don't know, but the result was good.
You talked with us over the summer about opening the door to Bermistrov coming back. That process has obviously evolved. Yeah. How do you think it's going, and how do you welcome a guy like that back into the room?
Well, he's a good player. I mean, you can see it when he gets on the ice. I'm a big fan of his right from day one in Atlanta. You can't have, we couldn't have, a first-round pick drafted that high just walk away from our team and not get anything back for it. I mean, that was a hole for us. And we saw it when Mark Scheifele went down a year and a half ago. When you think back to there, if Bermy's there, he just fills that hole, and maybe we got a chance to survive like we did last year when Little went down, and now we have Lowry and Scheife. More depth at center ice. There are things that he has to adapt to in terms of our game and the NHL game, but he seems to be real smart. He's picking things up real fast, so I have a real high expectation that he's going to be able to do that.
Any update on McWilliam at all?
He suffered a laceration. And he's gone over to make sure that there's nothing deeper than a cut there, and they'll sew it back up. If that's the case, then I guess it's just as soon as it can heal up and he can put a boot on, he'll be back. But he'll be day to day for sure.